It's good to be back from vacation. It's good to be doing what God has called me to do and what I enjoy doing so much. People will say, well, you can get in the pulpit every week. It's the same thing week after week after week. And actually, that's not true. While there is some routine concerning weekly duties of a pastoral ministry, I have the opportunity of every week seeing how God works. And He is an amazing God. And I am constantly being amazed. Some of the things that amaze me the most are the way people respond to my preaching. Now, take this in the right way. There are times that usually it's right after the message is preached, people will come up to me and they'll say to me something to the effect of, Pastor, you really spoke to me today about a certain need. And I think to myself, I never addressed that need. I never said a word about that need. How in the world did you get that out of what I said? And that's amazing that God would do that. I think that's really what all that is the Holy Spirit speaking in a very soft, clear, unmistakable voice of taking biblical principles and applying them to specific needs. So that's amazing. On the other hand, there are people that come up to me and they'll say, Pastor, I disagree with what you said. Usually it's not immediately after the service. It's usually sometime afterwards. When you said such and such and such a thing, and I say to myself, I never said that. And I wonder how in the world they got what I said out of what they believed. And I came to realize that there's a possibility that maybe what I spoke wasn't spoken as clearly as I thought it was. There's another possibility that they just didn't listen too well. But to the first one, a friend of mine on Facebook had this posted just the other day. Your beliefs don't make you a better person. Your behavior does. And then you're supposed to share that if you hold that to be true. And I said to myself, I wonder what she means by that. You see, if she means what James is saying about what does it profit a man if he says he has faith, but doesn't have works, then I would tend to agree with her. But on the other hand, if you take the word beliefs and define that as what one truly believes, then one always acts according to what one believes. I mean, you look outside right now, it's a little gray out. The weatherman is calling for rain this afternoon. If we really believe it's going to rain, and if there's a necessity of us being outside, my actions will be, I'm taking an umbrella with me. If I really don't believe it's going to rain, well, I might leave the umbrella at home. Genuine beliefs always issue in appropriate actions. And therefore, if that's what she means by that, I totally disagree. So you can see how when things are a little bit ambiguous in their meanings, it can be taken one way and not another. So I can understand when people say, Pastor, you said this, and I go, no, I really didn't say that. At least I didn't intend to say that. I guess what's really the most surprising to me is when I preach on something and I have opportunity later on, either in just the course of normal conversation or a necessity of confrontation when what has been preached isn't responded to. And the people will respond to me like, I never heard you say that. And I can remember, well, you were sitting right here, or this is what you were doing, or this is how the congregation responded. I can remember specifically saying the exact words and then that person being there hearing. And there's a possibility of some explanation. Could be that we're having technical difficulties. Is this thing working? Yeah, that could be a possibility that the amplification system went out for a moment. It could be that the person sitting next to you just had to have a lifesaver at that very moment, and they're, you know, with the wrapper. And of course, it's always going to be one of those wrappers that they just can't get open at that time. And they're there, and come on, you know, and you have this crackling going on and you can't hear. It could be a baby making noise. It could be somebody who's sitting next to you has to have a conversation, because what they have to say is more important than what God has to say. It could be a thousand things like that, but they just didn't hear. And I understand that. But there's a real importance to what we hear. As noted in the minute meditation in your bulletin, Romans chapter 10 says that our faith comes by hearing. And if we do not hear correctly, or if we do not hear at all, what we believe can go astray. And if what we truly believe can go astray, then our activities will be altogether wrong. Hearing is an important aspect of our Christian lives. And I want to take a look at that this morning. If we are to be holy and righteous in our activities, there is a necessity for us to hear correctly. Three things that I want us to look at this morning, they all revolve around what I believe are parallel passages in the Synoptic Gospels. The Synoptic Gospels are Matthew, Mark, and Luke. The word synoptic literally means to see together. And these three Gospel accounts see together the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. They look at Him in His humanity, whereas the Gospel of John particularly looks at Him in His deity. But three passages, and I think they're all describing the same event, but they take a little bit different take on it, as it's necessary to do. First one is found in Mark chapter 4. I want you to open your Bibles, Mark chapter 4, and I want to begin reading at verse 21. And he said unto them, "Is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear." And this is the verse that I particularly want. "And he said unto them, take heed what you hear. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath." It's the last two verses there sound a little like, huh? What did he say? A little confusing there, but let's start at verse 24. "Take heed what you hear." I think that "what" refers to both quantity of what we hear and quality of what we hear. Notice in verse 24 it says, "with what measure." That would define quantity. There are a number of people that are satisfied with just hearing the bare minimum of theological truth, and they're content with that. They're content with simply knowing that Jesus Christ died for them on Calvary's cross and was buried and rose again, and their faith rests on that. They are genuinely Christians because of that, but they're not really interested in growing any deeper in their faith. To them, simplicity is the best policy. Reminds me of an old joke. There was this businessman, highfalutin businessman, that was on his way to a very important business meeting in downtown Pittsburgh. He got lost on his way to Pittsburgh and got on some back road somewhere, and finally he saw someone standing out in a field. It was this old farmer. And he pulled up next to the farmer, and he said to the farmer, "Can you tell me, will this road take me to Pittsburgh?" Farmer said, "I don't know." Well, he said, "If I can just get to the interstate, to the parkway, I can get to Pittsburgh from there. Will this take me to the parkway?" The farmer said, well, I really don't know. And he said, well, if I could just get down to Monroeville, I can get to the parkway. Will this take me to Monroeville? The farmer said, I really don't know. The businessman looked at him and said, you don't know much, do you? Farmer said, I know I'm not lost. And to him, that's all that was necessary. And for a lot of Christians, knowing that they're not lost is all that's necessary. But where are they going in life? I don't know. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 5. Verse 13, a familiar verse to many of you. John writes this, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. When a person comes to faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, recognizing that on the cross of Calvary, He bore their sin because the wages of sin is death. He died in their place, fully paying the sin's penalty to God, that simply by faith in the Lord Jesus and His death on the cross, they can have the forgiveness of sins and the imputation of righteousness. They have eternal life. And a lot of people look at 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, and right after the word eternal life, they put a period. Would you notice there is no period in your Bible after the word life? There is a comma. Now, there are no punctuation marks in New Testament Greek. They are added by our English translators. But it is not right to have a period there because the sentence continues. I have written these things unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. First of all, that you may know that you have eternal life, and there is a sense of security in that, but it doesn't stop there. And that you may believe. And the verb believe there is a present tense verb which means a continuing activity of believing. Everything that Jesus is, I want you to understand and believe. There is a quantity, a vast quantity of knowledge about the Christian life. And if we plug up our ears that we don't hear it, we are going to miss out on life. Take heed. What you hear. Don't stop with just the basics. It's good, but it's not good enough. But there's also a quality to what we hear. Lord willing, next Sunday morning, I am going to speak a message entitled A Voice of Truth. We're moving from the ears to the lips, to the mouth. We not only need to be hearers of truth, but we need to be speakers of truth. But we also need to be hearers of truth and not lies. An interesting thought came to me this week as I was preparing this message. Over in Matthew chapter 16, the Lord Jesus asked His disciples an interesting question. He said, "Who do men say that I am?" And there were various responses as to His identity. And finally He asked them, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter stood up, and you probably are very familiar with the passage, and he said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And the Lord Jesus, and may I paraphrase, said, "Good job, Peter. You got it right. That's exactly who I am." And the Scripture goes on to say, and from that time forward, He began to share with His disciples how that He must go to Jerusalem and suffer at the hands of the elders and be crucified and then rise from the dead 3 days later. And Peter got up and said to him, and the Scripture says he rebuked him. Peter rebuked the Lord and said, "That may never be so. Lord, you got it wrong." And what was the Lord's response to Peter? "Get thee behind me, Satan." Now, obviously, Peter was not Satan. But what he was saying, in that it was not right, was just as good as a satanic lie. And I want to give you a little food for thought. I am not going to say this dogmatically, but I tend to think that I think I'm doing right. But in his humanity, simply in his humanity, now by no means am I denying the deity of Christ, but I'm just talking in his genuine humanity, there was a reason that Jesus said to Peter, I don't want to listen to you anymore. Because in his humanity, if he would have listened to that over and over and over and over again, I believe there is a possibility. Now remember, talking just plain old humanity, obviously in the deity wedded to that, it was impossible for him to sin. But in his humanity, if he would have listened to this over and over and over again, the temptation would have been there, maybe I shouldn't go to the cross. And the best way to deal with temptation is to say, I am not going to deal with temptation. Get thee behind me. I don't want it coming into my focus. I am not going to listen to it. Now, with that in mind, if that's a real possibility, go back to Genesis chapter 3. You don't need to turn in your Bibles. But go back to where Eve is having a conversation with Satan. May I say to you that the world would be a perfect place today if Eve had simply said to Satan, get thee behind me. She didn't have to converse with him. She didn't have to argue with him. She didn't necessarily have to come up with all the theological arguments. All she had to do is to say, listen, I don't want to listen. What you are speaking is a lie. You are the father of lies. I am not listening to lies. I am not going to subject myself to this constant explanation of falsehoods. And all too often today, we do the very same thing. Of course, we call it entertainment. And entertainment over and over and over again becomes reality. Isn't it interesting that the popular craze for the last decade or so on TV has been reality programs that are not reality? Oh, let's get a bunch of men and women, put them on an island all by themselves, and see who they can cast off. And we'll call that reality TV. How many of you have ever been on an island with about a dozen other people? Yeah. It's not reality, is it? But we've heard that for so long that we tend to believe it's true. Take heed what you hear. Are you listening to truth? Now, let's turn to Luke chapter 8. I believe this is Luke's account of the very same passage that Mark spoke of in Mark chapter 4. Look at verse 16. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, or setteth it on a candlestick, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they may, which enter may see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Take heed, therefore, notice the subtle difference, how you hear. I don't think Luke is perverting what Mark said. I think Luke is telling us another sentence that Mark simply didn't record. It is not only necessary to take heed what you hear, it's necessary to take heed how you hear things. Each and every one of us interprets what's being said. It's called a personal bias. And if you hear anyone saying, well, that's your bias, and they're putting you down because of it. No, each and every one of us has a bias. Prejudice is a problem. prejudice comes from the word pre, before justice. You're not considering the facts. You're making up your mind apart from what is true. Bias, on the other hand, says, I accept a certain set of things as being true, and I interpret in light of that. I accept the Bible as being true. When someone says, I believe this world came into existence by the process of a big bang and everything in it has evolved, I say, no, that's not true. The Bible says, and that's my bias. I'm not ashamed of it. I think it works. Be careful, take heed, therefore, how you hear, how you interpret things. And there are a number of ways that we can interpret things that simply aren't the right way of interpreting things. Turn back to Mark's Gospel, the 14th chapter. I'll give you a couple of examples here. Mark chapter 14. I'm going to start, the passage is a little long. I'm going to start verse 53. And they led Jesus away to the high priest. And with him were assembled all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes. And Peter followed him afar off, even into the palace of the high priest. And he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. And the chief priests and all the council sought for witnesses against Jesus to put him to death, and found none. For many bear false witness against him, but their witnesses agreed not together. And there arose certain and bear false witness against him, saying, we heard him say, I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands. Now they heard him say that, didn't he? What were they doing? They were interpreting in the physical realm. And he was speaking in the realm of his body. But neither so did their witnesses agree together. And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, answerest thou nothing? What is it with these witnesses against thee? But he held his peace and answered nothing. Again the high priest asked him and said unto him, art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? And Jesus said, I am. And you shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest rent his clothes and saith, what need we any further witnesses? We have heard the blasphemy. This guy just said he's the Son of God, and certainly he can't be that way. They had a bias. And their bias was wrong. Their bias was, this is what we believe the Messiah to be, and he doesn't fit the bill. Problem was, he did fit the bill of what Scripture said the Messiah would be like. But they didn't believe in the Scriptures. They believed in their own understanding of what they wanted to believe. And consequently, they drew a wrong conclusion out of a wrong bias. Take heed how you hear. Take heed how you hear and from whom you hear it. John chapter 4, and you don't needn't turn to the passage, but it's the story of the woman at the well that Jesus had time to share himself with and who he was and about the drink and so forth and so on. And he said to her, I want you to go and call your husband. And you know the story. Well, she said, I don't really have a husband. And he said, well, you've said the truth. The one you're with right now is not your husband. And she finally recognized that this man that she thought was simply a man was more than just a man. She goes into the city and she tells a number of people what has transpired. And verse 40 says, so when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days, and many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves. Interesting. They heard the story of this woman, and the woman was telling the truth. But they didn't accept her word immediately. Why? Well, who was this woman? She's had five husbands. She's living with one who is not her husband. Not the greatest moral reputation. I have a tendency to believe that this woman was known to elongate the truth. By the way, truth that is stretched is not truth. Truth that is cut in half, half truth, is not truth. I think this woman dealt in stretching the truth and half truth. And these people said, you know what, everything that she said just isn't so. And they were willing to find out for themselves, but they didn't accept her word straight off. I do want you to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things that thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Be careful who you listen to. Continue in the things that you have been taught that are consistent with the Scriptures from a person whose life is consistent with the Scriptures. Take heed how you hear. Final passage is Matthew chapter 13. Verse 1. Same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. Great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And he sowed some seeds. Whoops. And he sowed. Some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. And here's the verse. Who hath ears to hear? Let him hear. Take heed what you hear. Take heed how you hear. I'm going to summarize this one this way. Take heed that you hear. And my wife and I get a chuckle every time we relate this story, but our youngest son, Andrew, one time had an incident, an interplay with me. I told him to do something. And he stood there and went like this. And mouth the words, I can't hear you. A few seconds later, his hands went from here to here, and his hearing was restored perfectly. But all too often, we do this when it comes to the Word of God. Notice that the seed, and by way of interpretation, it goes on here to interpret what these things are. The seed is the Word of God. Many Bible commentators kind of restrict this to the message of salvation. I think that's unnecessarily done. I think what this is referring to is any preaching of biblical truth. Some of the seeds that are sown fall on the wayside. Understand that in biblical times, if there was a field, there was a pathway around the field where people walked. And consequently, where people walk, that ground gets hardened. And when the seed is thrown out in the field, some of the seed, you know, they're just out there distributing it like this, and some of that seed falls upon ground that is very, very hard and has no opportunity to penetrate. Not only does it not have opportunity to penetrate, but you got people walking constantly over it. So the seed is destroyed. The word is never heard at all. Some of the seed fell upon the stony places. Now, the idea is that there's an inch or two of soil, but underneath that there is a layer of rock. Consequently, the seed immediately takes some sort of root, although it never develops any real roots, because there's rock right underneath it and it can't get down to get all the nutrients that are necessary, specifically water. And consequently, you see something springing up immediately. And this is the person who hears the word and says, oh, that met a need. Maybe it's something that a need of encouragement in my life. I got to start doing this. Or maybe it's a need of conviction. I got to stop doing this. But there, whatever it is, they recognize this and immediately says, yeah, I got to do that. But then comes along the sun. And this little plant that resulted from the planting of this seed, because it has no root, withers away. It's tribulation that comes into a person's life. The temptation rears its ugly head again, and the person says, no, I know I shouldn't do this, but oh, I can't help myself. And they're off doing it again. Or I know I should start doing this, but oh, I got something else. You know, maybe it's I got to start being more faithful in my daily devotions, and you wake up tomorrow and your back hurts. Oh, I got to go to the doctor. I don't have time for devotions. Or you know, all kinds of excuses come along. Which leads to the third one. Some fell among ground that was actually decent as far as the ground goes, but it was infested with non-wanted plants, i.e. weeds. Isn't it interesting in the dry times that we had up until the last couple of weeks, how the grass just withered away and there are dandelions just coming up all over the place? They seem healthy as ever. And that's the way it is in our spiritual lives. The dandelions seem to abound. And we get caught up with all these different things. And what God wants to produce in us just kind of gets choked out. You see, we really didn't hear. We allowed the noises from something else around us to cover up the still small voice of the Holy Spirit who's speaking to us. Take heed what you hear. Take heed how you hear. Take heed that you hear. Because if we don't hear, or we hear incorrectly, or we don't hear the right things, we will form a faith that is false. And a faith that is false will lead to works that are ungodly. And works that are ungodly lead to judgment. What are you listening to? How are you listening? Do you really hear? Let's pray. Father, we have opportunity once again this morning to hear from you. Lord, I don't know how you're going to use this word in the lives of those who sat and physically heard this morning. But I know the Holy Spirit can take the words that have been spoken and apply it to a specific need. And maybe there will be one who will respond and come up to me later and say, Pastor, thank you for addressing. And I'm going to say to myself, I never addressed that. But you will. And Lord, my fear is there might be one who comes and says, "Pastor, I don't think you should have said that when I didn't say that. Or you should have said this, and I did say that," and they didn't hear. Lord, may the only voice that is heard this morning would be yours. May we be found faithful, because your voice is always true, to apply it to our lives and live appropriately in relationship to it. May we be doers of the word and not just hearers only. For the glory of God, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.